Pod.
Rugby pod.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rugby Pod. I'm Big Jim, and I'm with my partner in crime.
I'm Andy Goode.
It is. It's weird saying your own name sometimes. Do you find
you say Big Jim.
I know.
Big Jim sounds quite good, though, when you say it.
Well, it's building a brand.
And I'm Andy Goode.
He's Andy Goode. And we're also joined with the Northern Rock, which is producer Rob.
Yep.
He's coming into his own.
He is. He's getting better. We've unmiked him this week.
Yeah.
He's just sat quietly, pants down.
Earning his stripes.
Yeah.
Earning his stripes. Yeah. But we've got a hell of an episode lined up. But firstly, I'm going to apologise on your behalf. We're a day late.
We are a day late.
We're on holiday again.
So have you.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it a holiday in Scotland. No, I wouldn't. So apologies first. Andrew's been on holiday. But it's a pivotal week, Andrew. It's the Six Nations. It's the middle of the Six Nations.
Six Nations is back. The big game is back.
It is back.
It's coming home.
It is. And
you agree the Calcutta Cup's coming home?
Well, no, because I'm saying it is coming home.
Okay.
As in, like, you're saying it's coming home, and I'm saying it is home. That's exactly what I'm saying. But we've got a bumper episode.
We have.
We've got a brilliant guest. Who we got?
We have. We've got Zach Mercer joining us.
Zach Mercer.
He's not Scottish, mate. He's English, but Steve doesn't like him. He's been tearing up trees for Gloucester at the weekend, and I think he's gone on holiday as well. It's all about the holidays, lads and lasses. So, yeah, we're joined by him. We're going to dissect what's going to happen in the Six Nations this weekend. So settle back, enjoy, and make sure you're subscribed
on Spotify. That was seamless.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
How was your holiday, Andrew?
Very nice. Half term with the kids.
You've changed up. Marrakesh.
A quick trip to Marrakesh. We didn't have long enough to go to Dubai. But yeah, had a nice time. Took the kids. Bit of sun. We've got a suntan.
Well, I wouldn't say a tan. You burnt.
Yeah. I didn't realise it was as hot as it was. So day one, we've got there. And I'm like, well, you know, 25, that's all right. It wasn't 25. It was about 28. I got to dinner time, my favourite time of the day. But yeah, I got my head burnt on day one. And then slap the factor 30 on for the next few days. But it was good just with the kids, half term.
Out of 10, what would you give it?
I would give that an 8.5 out of 10.
Well, that's a good score. That's a good holiday.
Yeah, a very good holiday.
What are work saying? Like you go on more holidays. I don't know
annual
anyone.
Annual leave, mate. Just booked annual
that's
leave.
That's what I mean. So this is all annual leave, or is it like work from home?
No, it's annual
thing?
Leave, mate. Annual leave. So apologies to everyone. The pod is a day late, but we live in different worlds, Jim, don't we? Because you were on holiday as well.
Well, yeah.
You weren't happy with yours, though, were you?
No, it was West Coast. Just leave it at that.
West Coast, Scotland.
Yeah, it was just the weather weren't
30
there.
Degrees?
Minus 30 degrees. Minus 30 degrees. But you know what? We are recording late, so I spent the night in London by myself.
Yeah.
And like you'll know this, producer Rob will know this, I'm on the road a lot. But I'm boring in my old age. So I normally just stay in the hotel. Basically, I don't trust myself. So if I go out and meet up with some mates, go out for a few beers, and you know what it's like. That's why, like, as it's best to get down to London like early in the week because it is quiet. Thursday or Friday could turn into a
Thursday. Thursday.
Yeah. So, but I thought, right, I've got to do more with my life now. So I've come down on Monday, stayed over Monday night. I thought instead of lying, flicking on my phone, watching shit
Netflix.
TV and Netflix, I'm going to go out. I'm going to have a look what's out there in London. So I went to a comedy club last night.
On your own?
On my own.
It's quite a thing, isn't it? Because you're on your own a bit when you travel, aren't you? Work and all this stuff, load of different podcasts and work with World Rugby. Travel on your own is great and lonely as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit lonely. Yeah.
You know, London's very different. You can walk in anywhere on your own, but it takes a lot to walk in somewhere on your own, especially the size of you. You're not,
exactly.
It's not like you can hide somewhere, is it? So you've walked into the comedy club and someone's gone, who's the freak?
Well, the guy, the host, was a Scottish bloke and recognised me. And it was only a small venue.
Did you put on the accent?
How you doing, Bob? How you doing? But I walked in and sat down. There was only about 30 people. It's £3 to get in. It's like the Museum of Comedy on a Monday. So it's all the comedians. They come in and try different material. Well, he's called me out early on. and he called me rugby royalty.
Thousandth player.
Yeah, thousandth man. Yeah. That's rugby royalty. I started to become a bit of butt of the joke for some of the comedians.
Really?
Which made it worse for them because no one knows who I am there. So yeah. It's only the host guy. You know, the stand-up comedy is probably out of all the industries...
Toughest.
...is the toughest one.
Yeah. You had a go at that once, didn't you?
I did have a go.
Did you get up last night?
No, but I thought that I could potentially hold my own just because... It doesn't matter if you're not good because they're all trying new material.
Yeah.
So I did one in New York and I did the Chinaman joke and it went down a fucking storm.
What's the Chinaman joke?
I don't want to give it away on here because then if like people come and see me, they won't laugh because they've heard it before. But basically something to do with hung like a Chinaman. And in New York went down an absolute storm.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I'm going to take this to Glasgow and thought, right, I'm going to just give a few easy lines just to warm them up and a couple of apologies. And the main apology being the accent about me being from the Northern Hebrides and... It was absolute fucking tumbleweeds.
They looked at you and went, he's fucking English.
Threw the Chinaman one in. No.
Nothing.
Someone shouted racist, which obviously it's not because I'm a quarter Chinese, so it's not.
But yeah, you're out and about in London.
Yeah, I'm out and about. So anyway, if there is any recommendations on a Monday night in London, I'm receptive to it. I asked producer Rob to come. He's got no interest. He wants to go Wetherspoons. That's all he wants to do. He's keen on Wetherspoons.
Scraps.
You know what's a treat for him? Nando's.
Nando's, yeah, I was going to say.
Mate,
Nando's.
Nando's. So we went out for food, and like the way he's eating it, it's like he's never been to Nando's in his life.
The greatest food he's ever eaten.
Like, and it is, like, Nando's is great, but Rob is eating it like he's been fasting for a week. And I was like, you're so happy.
Just a chicken pita.
And chips. Chips. He doesn't want to get the peronaise, he doesn't want to pay, so he gets like the free mayonnaise. It's not quite the same. But I've said, when we're in London, we need to do more.
Escape rooms?
What's that?
Have you never heard of escape rooms?
Like a mystery murder thing?
Yeah, it's like you've got to find clues and get in and out of rooms and you're timed to get from one end to the other.
But that's going
to
be weird me doing it by myself.
I don't know. I've never done it, but a lot of people have talked about it.
Would you be up for doing stuff?
I'd do that.
Can we put
yeah.
like Monday night, like magic, can we put something in? Like once a month or like twice a month where like Monday night...
It's a toss-up between getting home, bathing the kids, getting shouted at by them, begging them to go to sleep. One more book, Daddy. Oh, go on then. Yeah, but one more book, Daddy, and then... try and sit on the toilet once they're in bed and one of them knocks on the door, Daddy, I need some water. So it's either that or let's do escape rooms.
I reckon once a month we build up them connections and we work out, producer Rob, content.
We should do some content around it,
well,
yeah.
Like the army stuff went so well. Like we should do once a month, we should go and try different things. Stand-up comedy. We all have to get up on stage. Me, Goody, producer Rob, we film it, right? And this is completely out of Rob's comfort zone. I love how he's on mute. We're not letting him speak. We're not letting him defend himself whatsoever. We're doing escape rooms.
Yeah. Tell everyone, come at us with ideas.
Yeah. To do in London on Monday nights.
Yeah. Because the army stuff's gone down really well. And we love that, didn't we? So imagine we do a load more content like that. Just two idiots walking around London finding something to do. There you go. There's the title.
Idiots in London.
Yeah. So, James, I say not a lot of rugby. There was no Premiership rugby. There was a bit of URC. A bit of top 14, two Premiership Cup semi-finals. It's not mainstream rugby, really.
Oh, that's harsh.
I know.
You are.
Well,
I know what you mean.
It's because
maybe
we're
Six Nations.
Yeah.
But that's it. You feel harsh saying it. And yeah. I didn't think I was going to watch rugby at the weekend.
I did
find myself watching the Elan Trailblazers versus Leicester Tigers. I just had it on, but I did fall asleep after about 60 minutes. And that wasn't a reflection on the game. That's a reflection of...
Being a dad.
Being on the West Coast and not seeing the sun for... 2-3 weeks, so I was lacking serotonin. And if I sit on the sofa, I fall asleep.
Feet up, yeah, I'm the same.
I don't ever do that apart from watching the code at the weekend.
Yeah. No rugby in terms of Six Nations then. We're going to talk about the big games coming up. What do you reckon? Do you reckon there's been a bit of chat around condensing the Six Nations, just going five straight weekends as a tournament, and there's all this stuff, and maybe you have to be a bit careful here with your...
No, I don't.
World rugby role.
I've got a straight opinion on this.
Give us the opinion. Because obviously the World Cup, we go... And there are rest weekends built into the World Cup, some better than others, and that's the first change that we've seen. What would you do around the Six Nations? Would you go five straight weeks?
I would go five straight weeks, and we've had this chat. I've had it in separate forums before. I think the season is too bitty, Andrew.
Yeah.
I think we need to compartmentalise what we're doing. I think you need to have a club window, international window, Champions Cup window, international window, and then another club competition at the end, however that looks in globalising the season.
Have you presented this to Bill?
No. I just do it on the podcast. I am a problem maker,
yes.
Not a solver.
Yeah.
But I think it needs to be 5 weeks. Here we go. one in, all in. No other rugby. The Prem Cup can maybe run. I was chatting to Ravo about it. I think it needs to be an under 23 tournament. That's what it needs to be, development. But I understand that TNT have got it and the players need to play rugby because there's such a gap between Premiership games. We haven't got it right yet. We've not nailed it. I think for 5 weeks, it needs to be all eyes on the Six Nations. So all the news, all the content, it becomes easier to kind of digest, work out who's playing who. Because I'm not rolling off the tongue. I didn't even know. Well, I kind of knew there was URC games, but I didn't know who was playing because it's been such a big break. The Prem Cup comes back into it. Now we're jumping into the Six Nations. We've got another week off, haven't we?
Yeah, so there's one game this weekend, obviously around this weekend, then another week off. Mate, you played in this tournament. It hasn't changed.
Has it not? Has there always been weeks off? Yeah. There you go. And that's what I mean. I don't even really know what's going on. Yeah. So I think we should have it all in there. And then you come out of that and it's like, right, this block now, after the Six Nations, is all Champions Cup. So therefore, you've got, or you could have had, like we've had the pool stages before, round of 16, quarter semi-final. And then it's easier to follow.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, right, that stops. And then you could maybe tag on like the Premiership and the URC round of 16 or quarters and semis and finals. Then that's done. And you're part of that. I just think we're in a crazy spot at the minute where we're dipping in and dipping out of different tournaments across different channels, ITV, BBC, TNT, Viaplay, but it's going to be Premier Sports again. Then Super Rugby's coming back into the mix. Is that this weekend as well? Do you know what I mean? I just think as a rugby fan, trying to work out where's where and what's what and who's who.
I think Six Nations, I think it should be 6 weekends. So you play 3 games to start off with, week off, and then 2 games to finish. Because going 5 games on the spin is a lot. And I know people go, yes, but they do 4 on the spin in the autumn and the World Cup, but they've built in a rest week in the World Cup, haven't they?
Yeah.
Effectively. And, you know, we saw, obviously, going deep into the tournament, there's 4 pool games and then everyone got a week off somewhere in that, and then quarters, semis and finals. But, yeah, Six Nations, I reckon you should go 3 and 2.
Why would you not go straight 5?
Just because 5 test matches back to back to back to back. And take Wales and Scotland, for example. You're going to need depth.
But is that not more exciting?
Yeah, it is. But you've got 2 professional teams in Scotland. You've got 4, well, not really, you've got 3 professional, you've got the Drags. Actually, Drags are better than the Scats, lads. The Scats, the Scarlets, oh my gosh. And we might get onto them a bit later in the bad. But Wales, there's not a massive amount of depth, is there, in terms of their player roster. So it just puts a strain on that for coaches and players. And so I think you should go 3 games, week off, then 2 games.
What I know is, and they've changed it, you shouldn't be having Prem and URC games during the Six Nations.
Yeah, well, Prem have sorted themselves out
now.
Yes,
they have.
A little bit of that is by design of losing 3 teams. But then you've also got to think of the businesses. So all the Premiership clubs have got no revenue coming in this period from match tickets, bar sales, general match day stuff, because there's no games. So they have to plan accordingly, but it's very difficult.
If you were smart about it,
you
would make your stadium purpose built, or you'd try and make it in a way in which you have the internationals on in that stadium. Big screen, put the umbrellas up. You know what I mean? Like, make it more engaging for the fans.
Yeah.
Concerts. We've seen Gloucester do that. I remember we missed the game because Tom Jones was on. So the pitch was fogged.
Yeah.
That's why they went
4G.
4G, but
which you don't agree with.
I don't agree with 4G, no. I think it's ridiculous.
Let's not go down that path as well. But yeah, I mean, trying to find the balance. We do need to sort the global season out. So it's like they have it right in the Southern Hemisphere. They play Super Rugby. Then they go into the summer tests, what we call the summer test series. They don't call it that, but they have their touring teams. So England are going to New Zealand. Where is Scotland going?
No idea.
There you go. Ireland are going to South Africa. And then they have a few weeks off, and then they start the Rugby Championship. And we are just lob as many games in, but whenever.
But us talking about it might just shift the dial. We're talking about stuff that I know is in the diary.
Yes, the big one.
It's the big one on Saturday. Scotland, England.
The Calcutta Cup.
Say it.
Scotland are favourites,
yes,
are they?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
We've won it last
3 times on the bounce.
Yeah.
We are the favourites.
You've got the wood over England.
I was chatting to Hoggy and Bernard Jackman. I listened to it back and I threw a ridiculous comment out there.
Yeah.
I said that we are 15 points better than England. Which, going away from the conversation, was like, that's a bit high.
Yeah.
But we are better than England, and we have to be comfortable to say that. And what does better mean?
What does better mean?
Like, how do you break that down?
You all played 2-1-1, lost 1.
Yes.
The Grand Slam's on for England, mate.
Well, there you go. So 15 points better.
15 points.
A semi-final nearly beating South Africa. But maybe it is that stat because we've won it the last three times in a row. We're a team that know our identity of how we want to play. We're settled. And I look at the England team still and I'm not convinced that they know who they are, what they are and how that they want to play.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a point now where it is shoulders back and cocks out. And it's like, here we go. And we own it.
Get your bush
out. And we say, we are at home and we need to be comfortable to say that we are favourites.
Yeah.
That we are going to beat England at the weekend.
Isn't it amazing that the confidence now of you speaking, yet you never won the Calcutta Cup as a player?
Well, I drew. You want to see, mate? Some the lads are sending me on comments and stuff like that. People just like, as we grow and as this grows and as my confidence around the Scotland team grows.
You lay the foundations, right?
Well, people keep saying, oh, you played in the worst era Scotland's ever seen. Yeah, the foundations. You just said it, Andrew. You know better than me. But the thing that worries me about England is the semi-final.
You ain't faced the blitz yet, have you?
The players that are coming back in,
yeah.
Talks of Manu,
Ollie
George
Lawrence.
Martin, Ollie Lawrence, like three massive players for them coming back. Yes, we've got Blair Kinghorn coming back. Hamish Watson is back in the squad now, whether or not he makes the 23 or he's just got to hold a bag as 24th man. I'm not too sure. But just based on the two games we've seen,
yep.
And I'll say that, okay, we nearly should have, could have, would have got a bonus point against Wales. We didn't. We left it all out there. But how well we played in that first half, how yeah. well we played against France. Tagline again.
Plucky losers.
No,
we
just need to put it all together.
Yeah.
So, like, the way we played against France for the first half especially, we looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
First half against Wales, we play like that against England, regardless of whatever team they've got. Then I think we win comfortably. But
comfortably?
I know, but it sounds, I'm almost like fueling the fire of the England team. I go back to that game against South Africa. They play like that against Scotland.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough day at the office.
Yeah.
If they play how they say they want to play, and it's the running rugby of Northampton, of Quinn's DNA style to excite the fans, then I think we lap that up and we are, I'm not going to say 15 points better. It all depends on the weather. Give we are 8 points better.
You've said 15 points.
I'm going to say 8. I'm going to say 8
you're
points better. This
you're
is a bigger audience.
Yeah.
We've got a bigger audience on the rugby pod.
You're backtracking
so more
from 15
listens.
To 8 and by Saturday morning it'll
What's
be...
What's the weather? What's the weatherman saying?
The weatherman says it's dry.
Alrighty.
Do you know what? This is the first year as an England fan, you've had the wood over us. And for the last 4 or 5 years of talking about this game, I'm always like, nah, we can't lose to Scotland. Like, we should be beating Scotland. And, you know, there's an expectation that I think England should beat Scotland. But this year, I'm like, nah, you boys are favourites. And so part of me is like, that's a good place to be because the pressure is on Scotland. Whereas previous years, the pressure's probably always been on England because there's an expectation that England will win. The expectation's now flipped. And for all those points you just made about how settled Scotland are, England, there's a lot of positives and, you know, there's a lot of talent in the squad, but we haven't fully seen everything yet. We've seen
glimpses. That's the issue.
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at some of the names that producer Rob has kind of thrown into the mix. So if I see an England team that's set up with a Genge,
yep.
Jamie George,
yep.
a Dan Cole for the scrum, a Maro Itoje,
yeah.
a George Martin,
yeah.
a back row of whoever they've got.
Are you dropping Chesimo?
Well, you could put George Martin at 6. That yeah. probably works out better. And I see a Ben Spencer at 9. And Alex Mitchell's
Ben Spencer is not starting.
I know, I'm just saying, I see a Ben Spencer at 9. I see a George Ford at 10. I see a Manu Tuilagi at 12. I see a Ollie Lawrence at 13. I see Freddie Stewart at 15.
Yeah.
And whatever wingers you decide to pick, then I start to worry.
There we go.
Because I'm thinking,
Steve,
you're set up with some physical beasts
yeah.
on the pitch with a kicking game, which will be boring to watch, but will be very effective.
Mm.
A la the semi-final against South Africa. That worries me. Mm-hmm. But from what I've seen in the first two games for England, that doesn't worry me as a Scotland fan.
Does the blitz defence worry you with
no.
Finn?
No,
no,
it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
Really?
It doesn't, no. I don't think it worries Scotland because I look at Italy, and yes, they've got a much better attack. I look at Wales, they've got a good attack.
Our defence got better week on week,
James. It got better week on week. But I think even against South Africa, and this is a throwaway comment again because that's what I do, we found the edge of South Africa a few times.
Who's
in
we?
That game.
Scotland.
Scotland, we
did. Got absolutely hosed, pal.
No, we didn't get hosed against South Africa. We just didn't take our opportunities. Remember the one before half time?
Yeah, yeah.
Darcy Graham down that left hand side. I think Finn is suited and set up to play against that style of defence.
Yep.
And we've now got the players. with Jack Dempsey at 8, Matt Ferguson's on fire, Rory Darge is a good carrier, Grant Gilchrist is a good carrier, Xander Ferguson, Pierre Schoeman.
I love Schoeman.
George Turner to punch holes, to get on the front foot, and to put England's defence questioning whether or not they should be blitzing with Finn Russell, who we know very rarely, very rarely gets intercepted.
Hey.
All right, and gets into the wide channels.
Laid the foundations,
and we know he
for two intercept tries for England.
He is wicked at the crossfield kick pass as well.
Yeah.
So he's got the skill set to be able to unlock a defence like that. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
But it's about getting on the front
James,
foot.
I understand, James. But also, having faced blitzes, when you think you've got all the tools, the skills, the players around you.
Did you take the ball to the line though, Andrew?
That's all I could do.
To the line?
Belly first.
To the line?
But against a blitz, you don't want to be taking the ball to the line.
Okay,
James,
tell me
time.
More. Tell us more. Finn, you're listening?
You need to let, if you're looking to get to an edge, you don't take the ball to a line. You let the line come to you, you get decoys, one pass deep, get to the edge.
Like a switch?
No.
A dummy switch and then like a pop?
Well, you
DSP?
See, so you can do that as well, but you need two waves of attack and you need to hold your depth. You let them think
sounds easy.
Get...
Mate, this sounds like a really easy way of unlocking the defence.
On paper, when you talk about it, everything looks easy. But facing it in the heat of battle, let's be honest, there is no better 10, probably in the Northern Hemisphere at least, if not the world, than Finn with a box of tricks that could unpick a defence that's new. But I saw a lot in that second half against Wales where there was so many connections around the blitz, the physicality, just to go phase after phase after phase. And that's where I just question with Finn. He'll keep prodding, he'll keep going, he'll keep trying. And there is opportunities to pick up, not because it's Finn, but there's opportunities to pick up intercepts, cheap tries, turnovers. And you just never know the bounce of a ball. But I can't wait for the game. And I'm excited by it because Scotland are favourites. That hasn't necessarily been the case for the majority of people that are looking at the game. Scotland would have always fancied themselves over the past however many years, and they've gone on and won it. But a lot of neutrals and a lot of England fans and probably Scotland fans would go, yeah, this, you know, England probably should win or could win. Whereas now it's like Scotland should be favourites. But I just think things might click for us. There is that power coming back into the team, hopefully.
That's the thing. So what has worried me for England in years gone by is a fit Manu Tuilagi, is a Mako Vunipola, is a Billy Vunipola, is an 8, 9 out of 10, Maro Itoji.
He's back on form, Maro, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still got a bit to go, but he's definitely in the right direction.
Stark Genji at Lucid, man of the match up there a few years back.
And that's what I mean. So it depends what the makeup of the team is. Does he go with Finn Smith? Does he throw him in? I don't think he does.
He sticks with George Ford.
But then if you've got Manu outside him, like how fit is
and
Manu?
This is the big thing around, it's all good and well having these names back in. You mentioned three of them there, Ollie Lawrence, Manu Tuilagi, George Martin. They haven't played any rugby for a few months. Now, Ollie Lawrence, and I say this, I think fairly, every time he's played over the past however long, he's making breaks, he's doing some unbelievable things with the rugby ball, offloading, putting people through holes, making line breaks himself, fending the one-hand carries and then getting an offload away. You saw that one for Bath where he just left it in the space. Ridiculously good. So I'd be probably starting Ollie Lawrence and Henry Slade in the centres and have a Manu on the bench.
Mm.
Because Manu, you know, we've built our centre partnership around and we always do it in England. Manu is such an X-factor player. And I'm probably being a bit harsh here. 7-8 years ago, he was the best on the planet, probably, in that position with what he brought. But we're always kind of waiting for that. And he's had loads of injuries. He hasn't played since December, I think. And he's tapered his game a little bit around his injuries and being less aggressive, like 110% with every tackle, every carry, everything. And I don't know, maybe I think Manu would be better off the bench coming to blast some boys in the last 25 minutes.
Well, we've been poor.
Yeah.
In the second half, and our bench isn't as good.
Yeah,
I'm not saying in that position specifically. Cam Redpath, if he's on the bench, has been very good. But
interesting.
Based on what I've seen, Scotland by 8, I think, you know, just Blair Kinghorn come back in. He's been on fire
you
for
have to pick.
Toulouse. Yes, Harry Patterson was very good.
I
8 games.
Amazing debut. Yeah, mate, just off you go to Zebra.
Yeah, please.
It was in Zebra as well.
It was in Zebra and they run Edinburgh very close.
Yeah. So he ain't playing this weekend.
Yeah, but maybe that's because he hasn't played a huge amount. I don't know.
Yeah, Blair Kinghorn's back at 15.
Blair
Kinghorn
back at 15, and he's wicked as well.
Absolutely, as a fullback.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Again, just more, I'm not promoting the Big Jim Show, but if you want to listen to it, you can go. But Hoggy gives some real insight into the psyche around Scotland playing England. Like, he didn't fear playing England. So he had a completely different
at the start or the
perception.
End?
Yeah, at the end of the over the last few years.
Yeah.
So the mindset of the Scotland team, it's not like, oh, you know, England of old. Like, I just went through the archives of the players.
But they'd have had that kind of fear, is probably the wrong word, but nervous excitement. Nerves probably. Yeah, maybe last year as well, but over the last few years. Now, that's changed, I think. It's like they think they're rocking up winning.
Yeah.
Whereas before they thought, if we get it right, we're winning.
But we need to perform. Arrogance is the wrong word that I've used a lot. With confidence.
Yeah.
And be able to go out there and say, this is what's happening, this is what we're doing. We are better than England, who are a team in transition.
Yeah.
But I don't see England playing how they've said that they want to play. I don't think they play like that.
Are you guys still asking the Six Nations to get the Scotland-France game replayed?
It's all gone quiet.
That's what Gregor said.
Is that what he said?
Well, he wasn't happy with it. They wanted an apology from World Rugby.
Yeah, I'm going to apologise to absolutely fucking nobody. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, this is the one for the fans as well.
Yeah.
Edinburgh's going to be buzzing this weekend. This is the one where, out of all the teams, there's still that deep-rooted history of, doesn't matter, mucker. As my dad said to me, you could lose to everyone, just beat the English.
Yeah.
Okay, Dad. No, well, that didn't happen. So what about Romania? Does that feel like
you beat
a positive
them?
Win? Yeah, I beat them a couple of times, actually. But this is still the one for the fans.
Yeah.
This is the biggest game. It's going to be awesome. And hopefully the weather does hold out, because remember a couple of years ago where it was, remember that wind?
Yeah.
And it was just a shit game.
Well, there's been a few that have been awful games purely because of the weather.
Mm.
And I think that will probably suit England more.
If of how you like play, to play. We kick is the bath.
But you're right, Jack. You boys are favourites.
That's the thing that breaks me about that France game.
Whoa.
Is when we beat England at the weekend,
whoa,
when we beat Italy in Rome, that
you could have been going to Dublin decision. For the Grand Slam game.
It's not about me, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But I can't wait, pal. It'll be awesome. It's what the Six Nations is about. It's the game of the weekend. Scotland by 8 points.
England by 4, James. Put a tattoo on it.
Are you keen?
No, I'm not keen. No.
Shave
your head.
I will
shave your bush.
I will do either.
No, I'm doing nothing.
Of those.
I'm doing nothing.
Okay, so you're not that confident.
No, I'm not
you?
That confident.
No, you're
I'm
not.
Scotland are favourites. But I believe that England, or I hope England, they come good.
So talking about the way England will set up, one player that Steve won't be picking is a man that is bang in form. He is on fire for Gloucester again at the weekend, potentially Scottish. He can't play for Scotland.
He ain't Scottish.
He ain't Scottish. Maybe he's All Black then. Who knows? But he's a friend of the show.
Big friend of the show.
Big friend of the show. The great Zach Mercer.
Should we get him on?
Let's get him on. Let's do it.
I'm delighted to say we're now joined by a man who I think should be in the England squad. Jim, you reckon he could be Scottish. He's on fire.
He's on fire.
From the weekend at Gloucester. We're joined by Zach Mercer. How are you, pal?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, all good, mate. Just soaking up the sun here. It's quite nice. A little week off.
Where's here? Probably.
In Tenerife.
The Tenerife.
Yeah, Tenerife. Yeah,
you know, first holiday with a little one, so I thought, take her away somewhere.
Nice, mate. For the people who are listening and not watching it, you've got a lovely red background, which Goody will be hating. Goody's all about, well, he's a Marrakesh, Dubai man. I'm with you. I'm a Benidorm, Tenerife. Keep it real, eh? Keep it raw.
Lanzarote.
There are some great places in the Tenerife, and I think
Why are you calling it Tenerife then?
Because that's where you go for a load of grief, isn't it? But, Zach, talk to us. Tell us the lie of the land. I mean, beers by the beach, on the pool?
Oh, well, mate, yeah. It's obviously very different, the holiday now with a little one, as you'll know. Obviously, you normally, like, have to stick to a routine, do what you want to do. But now it's like, I was in bed at 8 o'clock last night. So that's what it takes at the moment. Little one starts crying at like 7, half 7. And I'm like, right, well, let's go to bed then.
You've not been down Lineker's Bar in Tenerife?
No, not yet. I think Lewis Ludlow is only 20 minutes from me. So I think we might try and meet up at some point.
There you go. Yeah. Tops off scrapping. Yeah. That's why it's called Tenerife.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I don't know what your mindset is at the minute, Zach. I don't know how far you want to go into everything. You're obviously in the spotlight at the minute. It's great to see you back playing for Gloucester. As you know, we're both massive fans of yours and you've been carving up. I mean, how are you with everything now? It's an obvious place to start, isn't it? Not being in the England squad. Me on commentary when you're playing against Edinburgh saying that you're still Scottish when apparently you can't play for Scotland. I've got no idea what I'm doing. How are you, mate? How is everything? Where's the head at?
Yeah, obviously. No, it was a tough one to take, I think. Obviously, I've been very vocal on that side of it, and some people agree with it, some people don't, but obviously, it was really frustrating coming back from, obviously, Montpellier and trying to have a crack at the World Cup. And I didn't feel like I was given an opportunity, really, to have a go at that. And then, obviously, missing out on the Six Nations. And at the moment, my head is just purely on Gloucester. It's one of those, like, if I keep worrying about it, then it won't do my mental health any good if you keep thinking you're almost going to be there, but you're not. So for me, I've just kind of completely at the moment just said, right, I'm nowhere near the international kind of scene. So let's just accept that. And let's just accept where I am right now. And that's enjoying a holiday here with my wife and kid. And then obviously playing for Gloucester.
Talk to us then about the selection, because, you know, I tweeted about it the weekend, of course I did. How you're not in the England squad is beyond me and thousands of others. But Steve obviously has had his say on it and not picked it. What was the dialogue like with you and Steve? Did he give you reasons why? Did he say, give you work-ons? Or is it something that you want to keep private between the two of you?
Oh, no, to be honest, we were very open and honest with each other about it. He was like, he just said, I didn't, for the Six Nations, the balance of the back row didn't really fit me in it. And obviously then I disagreed with him, but it was a very like constructive conversation. It wasn't like one-sided or I just accepted it and he just accepted it. It was like, but we had a bit of a debate, which is always good. And obviously I wouldn't say I'm far away from the squad, but I don't really know where I stand in that pecking order at the moment. But like I said, it doesn't really fuss me at the moment. Like, if I don't play for England again, then obviously I'll be devastated. But I have done it. I've done it twice already, so no one will ever take that away from me.
Mate, you were the top 14 player of the year, right? Was that official? That was the official. Top 14. Went up on stage, you took the trophy. And in such a short space of time, me and Goody know how difficult it is to make a name for yourself out in France, especially at Montpellier, a club like that. Is there a part of your mind, I know it's easy to kind of say in hindsight, it was a big shift for you to come over. It was a big, I'm sure, a financial shift for you to come over to the Prem. Like, how are you with that? And there are rumours, Zach, I don't know whether you want to put them to bed, about every team in the top 14 calling you to get you back. And, like, effectively, in 3 years' time, make sure you're... Oh, it's five, isn't it, now? Yeah. Eligibility to play for France.
France, yeah.
Yeah, they play when they're old. They don't mind over there. Where's your head at with that?
No, so obviously, yeah, it was a big commitment to come back. Obviously, I was very vocal and honest that the reason was to try and fight for England. But the also other reason was that my wife was pregnant and I wanted to raise up our little baby girl in England around her family. So we had that support because, as you guys know, it's very difficult to raise a baby by yourself, and albeit in a foreign country. So we wanted to have that. And obviously, yeah, it was upsetting not to be in the squad, and obviously hindsight would have done that, you don't know. In regard to the rumours, I think they're bound to come out at some point. I think with regard, like, obviously not getting picked for the World Cup or the Six Nations, I feel like they're always going to be, them rumours will always come back out that I was going to try and go back to France. But I can put that to bed now, and I'm committed to be at Gloucester. I've got another 3 years left down there, so I want to have a crack there and really a chance of winning some silverware this season. And obviously not the Premiership, but we'll fight and try and get up the table in that. But we've got European Challenge and obviously the Prem Cup.
And there's talk of Joe Marchant coming back, all the talk of Henry Arundel being out of the mix, Courtney Laws heading to Brive. We know that that's happening. He kind of said it. Well, we told him that it was happening. And that's the big thing, isn't it? That's almost like the elephant in the room, because if Joe Marchant comes back and there's talk of him going to Saracens, there's only one reason he's coming back, right? And that's because he wants to play for England. But then if it doesn't happen, it's kind of, you're putting all your eggs in that basket. It is a risk. Like, Henry is exactly the same. Like, you got the choice of staying at Racing 92, you're carving up under the radar in Paris, unbelievable place to play with the superstars they've got, or come back. You might play for England.
Well, so to be honest, I actually text Henry when he started to re-sign at Racing, because I think for him, he's such a young age. He's only young, and he's got so many more international caps ahead of him. I think he's going to come back from France such a better player. Like, you guys have played in it. You know what it's like. It's crazy. The league is just ridiculous. And you develop so quickly in that league that when he comes back in 2-3 years' time, he'll play for England and that'll be his jersey. He won't lose it. Whereas now he might play and he might do a wonder try, but he might not be able to cement that jersey. And I'm speaking from experience. Like, I had an opportunity and I couldn't do it. I couldn't cement that jersey at a young age. So for me, it was like, I texted him and said, I respect your decision massively. And obviously England might look at it and go, oh, we want him back now. But it's a long-term process. He's going to come back in 3 years' time and be 10 times better player than he already is, which is scary. And when he comes back, he'll have that 11-14 jersey as his own.
Did he text back ka-ching? Is that all he texts back or not?
It's just the money emoji.
All right, let's talk about the game then from the weekend. Obviously, you know, brilliant performance, man of the match. I want to talk to you about the line break you made and then put the grubber kick through. Was that natural? Was it panic? Or is it something that you just thought, they're in the passing lane, so I'm just going to use my whole array of skills and put the grubber through?
It's funny, yeah, because I put a grubber in training in the week and it works. And I was like, oh, and I did it in the top 14 final. And I was like, actually, I don't do it enough. And then somehow I just made a break and I could have just passed it inside. I think it was Seb Atkinson, which was there's a 2-1 walking. But then I just saw the opportunity to grubber kick it and it kind of worked. And I think it's like I said in the press after, it's like, I'm just playing at the moment with like the shackles off. Like there's no pressure on me. I can just, and I know even if I did that and it wasn't right, I wouldn't have got a bollock in for it. So it's quite nice. Like it was a win-win either way.
What's the Prem like now compared to when you left? Has it gone up? Has it stepped up? Is it not as good?
It's difficult because obviously when I got injured two games in, obviously with the less teams, like I've missed 6-7 games and that's almost half the season done. It's quite tough on that aspect of it because you look at it and go, oh, well, dropped unfortunately and lost 6-7 games and the Premiership's done then already. So it's like such early stage of the season, it's already done. So the fitness side of it is a lot fitter than the top 14. It's a lot faster. I mean, it's a lot more structured, but I still think the top 14 for the physical side of it is massive. I think having played in it, like just the size of the blokes out there is just humongous. And the fact that it's rolling subs as well, it's like, it's just relentless. It's like they take the big boys off for 20 minutes and then bring them back on and then just try and bat you again. So, but I think the Prem, obviously, it's developing now. It's getting into a better stage of where it's at. And obviously, I think we need to try and get some more teams in the Premiership.
You believe in getting a bigger Premiership then? Ealing Trailfinders, they had a decent performance against Leicester in the Prem Cup semi-final at the weekend. What are your thoughts? We need to expand it?
Oh, definitely. I think we need to get, what was it, before 11 teams? I think we need to definitely get back up to that because, like I said there's just not enough games and there's just not enough opportunity for these teams to play. And like Ealing, like you said, Ealing would run a lot of Prem teams to the wire. I believe that. So, and it's not even just Ealing. There's obviously all the other teams. The Coventry's obviously played them in the Prem Cup.
Hey, the boy. But,
get the Kovskins
what were they
up.
Like?
When you look at the team sheet, obviously the Moth, Will Chudley at nine, and you got obviously Matt Kovacic, and
Yeah. You've
got all these players that are Prem veterans, really, and they would survive in the Premiership easy. So I think they need to be given an opportunity to do that.
And how's things at Gloucester? Obviously, it was very difficult. There was loads of injuries. You were out. They went on a tough run, didn't they? Lost a few close games.
Yeah, young 10.
Young fly half, various different issues. But seeing over the last few weeks, last month or so, with what's happened in the Challenge Cup, you're in the knockouts to that. You're obviously in the Prem Cup final in a few weeks. There's no doubt that, you know, that's your kind of goals to win both of those. But how is everything there? Because we're big fans of Skivs and Dom Aldock and everyone in the coaching team. But it's been tough, right?
Oh, massively, mate. I think it has been really tough. And I speak very highly of Skivs and Dom Aldock and Lightfoot Brown, all the coaches, they're great coaches. And obviously, like you said, we lost me, we lost Ruan Ackerman, we lost Valrapava Ruskin, we lost Adam Hastings, all at the same time. And like that's a core group of players. And obviously, for every positive, you get young lads stepping up with the likes of Seb Atkins and Jack Clement, who I think is going to be an outstanding player in a couple of years' time. So you got every cloud, but still, yeah, it's difficult. But we're on the mend now. Obviously, we're flying in Europe, we're flying in the Prem Cup, and we obviously beat a good Sale team in the Premiership. So I think we just wanted the Premiership to start again now because we're on a bit of a roll right now and starting. We've got Leicester away back in the Prem, which will be a tough one.
Yeah, well, Friday night lights that, isn't it?
Oh, I like that. Last question from me, Zach. So two massive voids out of the Gloucester squad. Lewis Rees-Sammet going to the NFL or trying to get into the NFL. And my best mate, Ravo, the slug. Who do you miss the most? Who's missed the most in that group?
Well, I think practicality-wise, it's definitely Ravo. But I obviously wasn't with Ravo for a long time, so but when I was with him, I respected him and he was great for setting me and the family into the area. And obviously Zam's off sunning himself in Miami somewhere and trying to make it in the NFL. But I actually said to him, I respect his decision again. He's a bit like the Henry Arundel situation, like he's still young and he's achieved so much in rugby already that why not go and have a crack? I mean, I think he's only 22 or something, which is scary, and he can come back in a year's time and be a British Irish line again and play in the World Cups and play for Wales again. Like, he's not going to lose that ability, so why not go and have a crack at it? And yeah. I respect Gloucester for letting him go.
Yeah, with that, I know it's a throwaway question. Like, is there a bit of jealousy and good jealousy? Like, seeing him do that with your skill set? I know it's maybe a crazy thing to say, but like, is it something that you would consider?
No, I think I don't think I've got that in my locker, to be honest. To be honest, he's a massive fan with the NFL growing up with his dad and watching it. I won't even know the rules. So for me, he's already got a head start on me. Like I watch it, but I don't really know what's going on.
Same as me, rugby.
Yeah. It was that. I think it's a bit out of my comfort zone, the NFL. But if anyone's watching and thinks I can have a crack, then yeah, you know where I am.
10 agree.
Just tell me what to do. Come and pick me up.
I mean, 10 agree.
There we go.
Yeah, awesome, Zach. Mate, Class to have you. Enjoy your holiday.
Cheers, guys.
Well deserved. Love to the family.
Get yourself down Lineker's, tops off, with Luds. I want to see some photos scrapping.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a siren go past. That's probably Luds just getting in.
Cheers, gents.
There we go.
Legend. Thanks,
Cheers,
buddy.
Zach. Top man. Thanks, Zach.
Speak soon.
Top lad.
Yeah, he is. He is. I just don't get it, though. How's he not in the squad?
Well, it's one of these. I don't think us keep mentioning it.
No. He's getting better week on week, though, Steve.
That is the prerogative of a coach, and yes, it's something that always blows my mind. And there's a few examples you think of years gone by. Alex Goode was the perfect
European player
example.
Of the year. Couldn't get a look in.
Literally couldn't get a look in. Yeah. And he was like one of the best players of our generation. Yeah. Like having played with him, played against him. And this isn't because I like Zach and I've watched him grow. The proof is in the pudding. You do not go to the top 14 with the amount of talent, French talent,
world
Fijian talent, South All African Blacks. Talent. The amount of talent in the top 14 and get crowned
the best.
The best of the best. Yeah. Like that there is...
As an Englishman as well.
There you go. As an English... Like who else? So you've got Johnny Wilco, who did exceptional when he was there.
I got voted for Player of the Month once when I was in France. But no, yeah, genuinely, you know the French don't really like the English, but I actually saw a clip the other day of Zach when he played his last game for Montpellier. Mm. Obviously, it was announced he was coming back to Gloucester. He came off and the whole place erupted and he looked really emotional because obviously he went over there, created some great memories, played unbelievable rugby, won the top 14, got the player of the year, and it probably hurt him. You know, Montpellier is a great place to live as well, but it must be very frustrating for him because I know the injury hasn't helped. I think the World Cup issue, and I spoke to him in the summer when he said it then, he wasn't given a fair crack to... He was booted out of the training squad pretty quickly. So, yeah, that's the frustration, but I'd have him in the team every
week. Well, you look at his... Like, I know he wears eight, and this is outside the box. So if you're putting him as an out-and-out eight, and we know that there's a balance issue in the England back row, like I think there is, like Ben Earl, wicked player, world-class player, love him.
I'd play him at seven. I'd play Ben Earl at seven.
But you could also play Zach at a six or a seven. Yeah. You look at Peter Steph de Toy, you look at like other taller, rangier...
Steve likes a tall...
Back rows.
Line-out option, though, didn't he, is there?
But that's what I mean.
It's six. So and that's coach's prerogative.
Well, that's what I mean.
Do you know what's the worst excuse you've ever had from a coach for not selected?
Marcelo Lefreda, when he was at Leicester. Yes. Lovely bloke. Yeah. Like and this was off the back of Argentina doing awesome at the World Cup in 2007. I was waiting for my opportunity and I got brought into the office and I was like, right, but why am I not playing this week? And he says, why you do this? Why you do this? And I was like, no, I'm just asking. Like, I'm meant to be playing this week. Why you do this? I'm not doing what? He said, you ridiculous man. You not play well against the Irish. And London Irish was 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you on about? You not play well. I says, mate, I wasn't playing against the Irish. What are you talking about? He said, get out of my office.
So he just got the wrong player.
He said, I was Italian, but he had no idea who I was. But that was the excuse that I got. No play well against the Irish. Right, Andrew, let's go to Dublin.
I'd love to.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Dublin. Well, we're not going, but Wales are going to Dublin. And Wales' team has just been announced.
It has.
Breaking news. It's not that breaking, but we're recording a day late. They've gone early on the team.
I like it when teams pick and announce the squads on a Tuesday. That used to be the case, didn't it? Mm.
I think they should do before the game.
Just before the game?
I think they should do before the game, just before the game. Again, just more drama in the build-up. Like, who's playing?
Yeah, a lot more to talk
about.
You know,
like they do it in football. Yeah. Like, I quite like that.
Yeah. An hour and a half before kickoff.
Yeah.
There's the team sheet.
And then the you're causing like a bit of chaos before the game.
Yeah.
And there's more to talk about as well in the build-up.
Well, there's less to talk about the closer you get to the game. Was it like, who's playing? Don't know.
Yeah.
But I like it. Yeah. Sam Costello's back in at 10. Good to see him back. But they've kept the same team apart from him.
And they look good now. Like because now we're starting to understand more about the players for Wales. We have seen the way that they can play with the ball in hand. I think the Nick Tompkins, George North at 12 and 13 is very good. Look, I know they're playing against Ireland, right? So let's just big Wales up a little bit now with some of the players. They've got the back row, for me, looks very good.
Yeah.
No Jack Morgan just yet, but man is very good at six. He's been quality.
Are you giving him a chance?
No. Is that harsh?
You
or not?
Said...
You make me, by you laughing makes me sound like I'm really harsh.
You are, but didn't you say on this pod a few weeks back...
I'm never going to write Wales off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Have they got a chance?
No. Not against Ireland.
Yeah. Like, they are ridiculously good, Ireland.
Yes, they are. And that's why, like, you've laughed when I've said that, but I feel harsh, but it,
you
said
no, I'm picking you up on your words, Jim.
I know.
You said you will never write the Welsh off. Have they got a chance? No, you said.
But I like the way they're set up.
Yeah.
Like, I can see a clear identity with how they want to play, you know, with Sam Costello coming back at 10.
I don't want to sound too harsh. had Sam Costello been playing against England, and this is a big thing to say.
This could be really harsh if you say it.
Yeah, I think they might have beaten England because Johan Lloyd made a few rookie errors. And he, listen, I said it last week, he's a good player. Hasn't played much at 10, but lacked the experience of an international 10. Had Sam Costello, who again isn't massively experienced in terms of games at 10, but we spoke to Biggs, didn't we? And he said how impressed he was with leadership and all this stuff at the World Cup. I think they'd have beaten England at Twickenham. So I think Sam Costello coming in is a big step for them. Mm. And they will be a lot better. They're playing Ireland in Dublin, though, let's be real. Yeah, the Irish bandwagon, people are on it. You know, they're talking about they've already got the Grand Slam. You've got to come to Twickenham, lads. But this is a foregone conclusion for him.
Oh, because the talk will be, and how do you stop Ireland?
Yeah.
With Gats breakdown, you've got Tommy Rafael, or Raffle, as Shane Williams calls him.
Yeah, Tommy Rafael.
On comms. Yeah, I call him Rafael. But the violence that Ireland bring to the breakdown, the absolute mongrel and speed of clear out. I'm going to say, I reckon Tommy Rafael gets two turnovers max this week. And this will be interesting
to
see.
There was a big thing in the press around people complaining about how Ireland were cleaning out in the rucks. Past the rucks.
Mate.
I know, it's violent as you like, and it's...
It is like something you've never seen.
South African
All Black when they were flying, the clips that were going around where they're flying in off their feet.
Yeah.
But that, like, because they do it so quick and so collective, so the breakdown's going to be massive.
It's going to be huge.
Ireland are 15 points better than Wales, comfortably.
Yeah.
I'm going to say comfortably because I'm impressed with what I've seen with Wales, albeit they are 2-2,
mm-hmm.
lost.
Yeah.
But this Ireland team look sensational.
So you're saying Ireland by 15?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be more, but I'm saying 15 to be kind.
Ireland by 28.
Oh my gosh.
Ireland by 28.
All right.
I'm sorry, Wales.
Okay, I'm not surprised. I'm not saying that, but I will never, even though I've said the Wales are going to lose and it's going to be a comfortable win for Ireland, I'm never going to go down on Wales again. Not down in Wales.
You're never going to go down on Wales.
You know.
What a statement.
I know. Is anyone called Wales? Looking forward to the game, though. I mean, that's a load of history in itself. But
that's the build-up game to the big one.
It is. Scotland, Ireland, way England. Too good. Way too good.
Yeah.
Here's one for you, Andrew.
Go on, then.
You say the big ones. Some say Italy have a chance.
Well.
Things are not well.
They are not rosy in France, are they?
They are really not. Well, I never... I saw Sean Edwards after the Scotland-France game, I said, knocking about in his white shoes. But there's been reference that he's a bit of an outlier, which he is anyway. But I have read some things, seen some things.
Well, what have you seen?
I saw Rob's notes.
What did Rob's notes say?
Rob's notes said that apparently things aren't well and that Midi Olympique have insinuated, and I hope this translation is right, Rob, that Edwards was an outsider among the coaching staff, stating... I quote, the Englishman appeared somewhat disconnected from the rest of the staff during the last World Cup, spending long hours on his own. This is the French newspaper. Yeah. I don't know what to believe.
Well, Sean does like his own space and time.
Yeah, he's a northerner.
Yeah. And I go back to the amount of times I saw him. I used to coach his lad when I was at Wasps.
Was his lad hard?
Yeah.
What did you pause?
He wasn't massive, but he could pack a punch.
Mm.
I just remember Sean would be rocking up at games to support and watch his lad, and he'd give me the fear as I'm coaching his son. I'm like, oh my God, make sure you play really well. Just put you
pick
on
him.
Edge. Yeah.
Don't not pick him.
I picked him every week when Sean was there. But he'd be in the stands hours before kickoff just reading a book on his own. I'm like, is he watching me coaching him?
Well, he ain't reading the book. Sean Edwards don't read.
Yeah, but no, it's interesting, but it's Fabian, isn't it?
Something's not right in
Fabian.
That French squad.
Fabian, your mate.
And again, I keep talking about people that are chatting to. Bernard Jackman, quote unquote, said, the vibe, to quote him, is not positive.
Yeah.
Which you actually, I knew nothing about it. I went based on the Ireland game and then the way in which they played against Scotland. And before that game, I kind of thought that France aren't the same. They've not got Anton Dupont, but emotionally just seemed completely off. And is it a hangover from the World Cup, or is it more deep-rooted with Fabien Galthié? And we know his history. I spoke about it before. Got sacked at Montpellier, got sacked at Toulon.
Didn't treat you well, did he?
Didn't treat me well. So here we fucking go.
Get after him.
Well, it doesn't look right.
No.
At all.
What happened
to... It doesn't look like a French team. They look like not the same planet that they were.
What happened to Raf Ibanez as well? Because something happened there
where he
got the elbow, not booted, but moved aside.
Yeah, because they were using him to front all the media because they didn't want Fabian doing that as well because he likes to lie.
I'll go back to Wafflegate. It's all about the waffles. Remember the waffles?
COVID. Yeah, I don't mind that. You look now, it was potentially the wrong thing that we did during COVID, but I don't want to get political. So he was right. Eating fucking waffles in Italy. You go and do it, Fabian. But
you're saying there's a problem.
Everyone's saying there's a problem.
Yeah.
Midi Olympique. There's a problem with Edwards. They're trying to get the English, but they're blaming the English.
They're blaming the English. But they're trying to blame Sean when you're trying to blame Fabian.
He's the boss, isn't he? I'm just saying that Fabian's got history and everything after the World Cup, them blaming the referee, the emotional toll that took, and we know how emotionally led Fabian is.
The French are in general.
And the French are in general. Yeah. No Anton DuPont. I don't know. It doesn't look like what we saw during the World Cup. They only lost the big game and it was a controversial turnover Quagga Smith's hand was on the floor.
Yeah.
I can say it now, his hand was on the floor. Yeah. Was he supporting his own body weight? Doesn't matter if your hand's on the floor as long as you're supporting your own body weight. Yeah. But they were wicked, like during the World Cup, beat the All Blacks in game one. Mm-hmm. They looked very, very good.
They nearly put 100 points on Italy in the World
Cup. Nearly, yeah. Yeah, it was 90 odd, weren't it?
Was that when we were in Marseille?
Yes.
Let's not talk about that night.
How good was that?
That was great. Let's not talk about it. It didn't go out.
We're watching the Rookers.
Yeah.
It didn't go out. It didn't go home, you mean?
Yeah, true. Yeah, I'd be interested. What are you saying? If Italy win, sack Gaultier?
Well, it's in Lille.
It's in Lille's.
So are they missing a trick? I understand why they're doing it, going around the country.
Well, they're going around the country because of the
Olympics.
Mm. And they're changing the stadium.
So I get it,
France. Yeah.
But it's all a bit bitty, isn't it? And Italy, I don't know. Can I bring myself to say that Italy are beating France? They have in the past.
Yeah, they have in the past.
We'll know. This weekend, you'll know if there's an issue in the French team. You'll see it straight from the start, even if Italy come close to beating France.
So if Italy come close, sack Fabian, is that what you're saying?
I'm happy to say it. Get rid of him.
Get rid of him.
No, I don't. Don't put that as a headline.
Yeah, you ain't getting rid of Sean, though. Sean, we had him on here, didn't we? He said, look, he signed a four-year deal.
But you know how these things work in France.
Oh, in France, they'll sack you and then try and not pay you out as well. But you won't get one over Sean Edwards. The problem is, for Sean, Wales are locked up with coaches now. England are. We should have got him.
Scotland.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying Gregor might want to change.
What are you saying?
Sean?
Gregor's signed on for more, mate.
No, I think he's signed on. Has he signed on for four more? I don't think he has.
Well, they extended him before the World Cup, didn't they?
Well, I'm just saying if he doesn't want it, Sean.
Come and get it.
Mate, there is a spare bedroom with the four kids that you are more than welcome to. You've got a sauna in the garage, got an ice bath, got a load of books that have never been read. So if you do read...
He likes a book.
He clearly likes a book. So I don't want to push him out. I love seeing him in France. Italy got a chance, Andrew?
Yeah, they have actually. And they ran France pretty close in the Six Nations last year when France were building up to the World Cup. We've seen huge signs of improvement from them. The way they played against England, could have beaten England really. Okay, they got monstered a bit by Ireland last week. Their set piece was awful. But they do look a lot better.
I'm going to say it. I think there's an upset. Pocket.
You're going to back Italy?
Yeah, I'm going to back Italy. Just for Rob and the YouTube page. Just I'm going to back Italy by four.
Italy by four. I'm going to go France by 10.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Uncomfortable for them, but they'll have enough to get by. When you got Gregory Aldry, who's...
He's already... Yeah, he went off injured, though, against Scotland. He was gashing his knee, though.
Yeah.
I thought he got stretched off. I thought it was worse.
Thomas Ramos will kick a load of goals. There is problems in that French team and the management, the coaches, whatever.
So French, eh?
It is so French.
It's mental.
But it is the hangover from the World Cup. Like, all the emotion around that, your own World Cup. Yeah, you've kept the same players, you've asked Winnie Antonio to come back out of retirement, you've kept the same coaches. You think back to disappointments, and it would have been harsh getting rid of Gaultier after the World Cup because it was such a contentious loss in the quarterfinal. But England had a shocking World Cup in 2015, got rid of all the coaches, won the Grand Slam next year. You know, big changes sometimes come and create things, and don't know.
Should have got rid of him?
No. But it's not Ape. They ain't Ape.
They're not. Well, with Rob making a headline out of me saying Italy are going to win on YouTube.
Yeah.
Mate, YouTube's flying now.
It is.
The Army video.
Wow.
Is there paid spend behind that, Rob, or not? He's shaking his head. He's nodding. No, there's not. No, it's done really well. So thank you to everyone who's watched the British Army Be the Best video. We've got a couple of them in the studio coming to talk to us about it. We've got Sergeant Bestie.
Staff Sergeant Bestie.
Staff Sergeant. Oh, sorry, that's one. No, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Jim, you were Mr. Army.
Yeah, I know. But
first up, you got it fucking wrong straight away.
I wasn't looking at the light. I went on visuals and my mind was at a blank. Sorry, Staff Sergeant Bestie. I'm not even going to call you Bestie now. And Captain. Oh, This is your captain speaking. Sam Akers, a.k.a. Akers. Is that right? Right intro?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Although he did have it on his chest, which is, you got it slightly wrong, and it's staring you in the face.
I know, it was the crown. Makes the staff, right?
Yes, the small one at the top.
I know what I'm talking about.
But that, the staff sergeant's the big... You can't just be a sergeant. Like, staff sergeant's the boss, right?
No. Everybody's always got a boss above them.
Oh, really?
Even if you're at the top, there's still a boss above
them. Even the commandant's got a boss.
Look,
captain, I'm right in saying this. So, sergeant sounds fucking good, right? So does captain sound good. But, like, staff sergeant's like, you're one below being a commissioned officer, right?
No.
Oh, Jim. How far are off you, bestie?
I actually promoted last Tuesday to warrant officer class 2. But I won't wear it until I'm posted into that role.
All right, well,
so we should call you warrant officer.
Sir would be the correct term.
Sir! Big dog! Warrant, so you go around people's houses and issue the warrants, is that what it is?
The king will give me a warrant signed when
that
I'm
is
well
cool.
in training.
Sir Best.
Yeah, that's a fucking good ring, that.
Yeah,
it is.
Sir Best. Well, great to have you here, boys. Have you watched it?
Watch what? Yes.
Wow.
Of course. I watched it 4 times, Goody.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
So you have boosted the algorithm.
Yeah, yeah. Half the views are down to me.
There you go. And the votes, because it's going to go down. It's going to get voted onto the big screens. It's done so well on YouTube. Captain, you watched it?
I did. I got obliterated within 5 minutes of it going live. Everyone just sending in going, where's your headdress? There's no flashes. What the fuck's going on? Regimental Sergeant Major was kicking off.
Oh,
they went all serious about
it. We went a bit rogue. That's why.
Well, I looked at it. I've got my beanie on half the time because it was Baltic.
Mm.
And then they're kicking off because you haven't got the right gears on, lads. You've got to be professional at all times.
Out of all that. That's what you pick up out the beanie, not your sausage rolling through the trenches.
How good was that, though?
No, it was class. It was wicked. It was. And the thing, like, just talking back in the green room, I think the authenticity around the content and the couple of days that we spent was because it's so similar, right? As in the rugby, the sport, the people in the military, that kind of brotherhood. That's why I loved it so much. I think, like, because it was genuine. Like, it was, we're going there to film for a couple of days, or it's work for you guys, and we're in. But it just felt genuine. It
didn't
feel
like a day's work at all.
No, and I think that was, like, reciprocated from my side as well. When you guys come down, I anticipated, like, not from Rob didn't say any of this, but I genuinely thought it was going to be almost staged to make you guys look like you've done a load, and it wasn't, was it? It was just us chatting, having a bimble behind the squad, talking about fitness, good times, what the army means to me and how you perceive it, and a great day in the office.
Mm.
Great day in the office.
I did 2 chin-ups as well.
Was it 2, was it?
2, yeah.
Very good edit, Rob, producer Rob there, because it made it look like you did more.
Yeah. Bessie, with the run that we were doing,
the jog,
the fast march, that sounds much better. There was a woman that was leading the charge.
Well, there's the leader of the platoon.
Yep.
And there was the PT.
Oh, of course, the PT.
And she's ridiculous, isn't she?
But that's what we were talking about. We were saying, like, you're now seeing athletes, right, in that space. And, like, apparently she competes in these mad triathlons and stuff like that. And, you know.
Lieutenant Lucy Davis is now. Yeah, she's...
She made it through.
Yeah,
of course she did.
Yeah.
But that, and not that my mind was blown, but it was, it showed the kind of diverse spectrum of people that are coming into the army, but also thriving, and the opportunities that sport as well, the fact that she is a triathlete and she's chosen that field to go into.
Yeah.
And we were talking about being able to excel in both of them.
Yeah, she was, like we mentioned about the stronger members of the company, platoon, whatever it was, at the start of the time when they come to Sandhurst, and she was one of them from the start. And she was, like Captain Mellor mentioned, she's not the norm and we're not after superhumans. Mm. We're really, really not. But she excelled in... Well, pretty much every respect of that, from fitness down to her leadership, her control. And you see her on that, it's only a short snippet on that video, but you see the way she can just bring everyone back. She, like, people start to lose it. She corrals them back in, and she's going to have a great career. And there's a few people you notice when you see the privates, the junior officers, and you can almost pick them out, who the ones that are going to climb up the ranks and go, well, and she's going to have a phenomenal career. I have no doubt about that.
Bessie, talk to us about your role as an instructor then at Sandhurst and sort of developing future leaders, because obviously a massive thing around, it's not just let's get everyone in training really hard. There's a much wider picture to it, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm a small entity of this. All I deal with is physical development in the gym, nothing more than that. So I've got a team of 15 men and women who work alongside me and develop everybody's personal training from day one. We just start them off simple. So there's like 3 different phases to what we do in a physical development range. It goes from a foundation, resilience, and specific. So foundation is your bog standard linear movement, getting the heart and lungs working. Foundation movement patterns, going into the resilience, which is then bringing it into more the field phase, the greener side of the army. So what we do in the gym, having that crossover out in the field, and then the specific phase goes into whatever the unit is going to be doing at that set point. And all we do is just see them from start to finish, not from superhumans, just from acceptable levels of fitness in the army, and then just build them up on that pathway. We just show them the door. They're the ones that have to go through it. Sandhurst itself, the officer academy, most have worked for probably about a year to get into that scenario anyway, just to walk through the doors. They then get pretty much three terms, juniors, inters and seniors. Juniors will be almost like basic training for a normal soldier. They'll go through that and then just develop that as they go through all the way forward into leadership. They go through lessons in previous wars and various different aspects of leadership that's going to make them into future officers in the British Army.
Acceptable levels of fitness for me and Jim?
Mate, don't put me... Bestie?
No.
You know what though, how like that you talk about opening the doors, and anyone you spoke to who was thinking about it or who was 50-50 said, when you said what was the hardest bit, and they said like walking through the doors. But this is a rugby podcast, it's a big rugby audience, obviously. Rugby seemed like it was a huge heartbeat within the army, both men and women's. We watched the under-23s, great energy, great atmosphere. You play a bit of rugby as well, is that you? You've just rubbed your face before you come in.
Yeah, I've had a towel on it just before I come in.
You play a bit of rugby?
Yeah, but look, he's just, as in recently, look, he's rubbed his face.
Skips.
Yeah, I know, but he's before he's come in, look, he's rubbed his face just to show. Hasn't played, hey, ain't played in 3 months. I'm going to show them. Massive though, rugby in the army, eh?
Yeah, it's that build up to the in-services where it's Army, Navy and the Army RAF games, and we're 4 or 5 games now into that build up so far. And it's brilliant, not only from, you know, personally being able to get away from work and actually basically go down as a full-time athlete when you're there, but also it just humanizes a lot of the army. You've got guys of all ranks, you know, whether it's me as a captain or the coach who's a colonel, down to guys that have just come out of basic training, and it's all, you know, first name terms, and it really humanizes it for everyone. Some of the opportunities, you know, the places you go. We went down and trained with Quinns, where, you know, Marcus Smith almost made me look very silly. It's a fantastic opportunity and something that the Army pushes really well, not just in rugby, but across all the different sports. I mean, you've only got to go into the Army Sports Instagram and, you know, some of the people, whoever it's, you know, professional fighting in mixed martial arts or some of the guys who are doing the Ironman stuff, it's just phenomenal. And the resources they put behind you is outstanding.
Army reservists is a big thing as well, isn't it? Where it's part-time, but you still get, I say benefits, you can still go and do all the good things that we're talking about.
And dip your toe in as well.
Yeah. So when you guys came to visit us last year, we had a whole company which were all reservists. So you had 2 regular companies from us and then a company provided by the reservists doing the exact same job in the same place, same conditions. They can dip their toe in and do as much as they want or as little as they want. One of the officers there who basically did 6 months away every year and had been to Somalia, the Falklands, was now on Interflex and then was taking 6 months off, and then he's off to Cyprus now this year or whatever. There are opportunities to travel as much or as little as you want in the reserves, and your minimum commitment I think is only 28 days a year, so you can do as much or as little as you want.
Just give us an idea without crying what the army has done for you as a man, how it's shaped you. I know we're going deep.
Oh, yeah, it is deep.
It came across, that's what it came across. It came across when I was there that there was a lot of people that it was more than a job. You were one of those people where I felt as if you didn't just do your job, you fucking loved your job.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. There's not a day where I wake up, and I say this to the lads as well, I'm not just saying this because I'm on a podcast and promoting the military. There's not a day where I wake up and I go, oh my God, I've got to go to work today. I never, ever get that. I love delivering. I love physical training, and I love the worth that I get in the military. The brotherhood and sisterhood, and I describe where I work now at Sandhurst as a rugby changing room. Like, you fuck up a little bit, you're getting abuse, you're giving abuse to other people, it's all in jest. It feels like a tight-knit family. But it's given me opportunity. I've spent 6 years of my life in Cyprus. My little girl was born out in Cyprus. I've able to spend 4 years in Cyprus with my family, having the beach on my doorstep and seeing my daughter swim for the first time in the Mediterranean Sea, gleaming. She's seen turtles. I've been to a list of countries, probably more than 50 countries, I'd say. I get a substantial amount of leave for a year. I'm able to play rugby with friends and work alongside mates every single day. I always said if the cons outweigh the pros, I'm out. It doesn't matter how long I've done and my contract, I'm gone. And I've not even once come close to that in 17 years. It's a great place to be, and I wouldn't change a thing. in the last 17 years.
That's how you sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
No,
I appreciate you coming in, guys. It's we had two amazing days, didn't we?
Yeah, which we still speak about now.
Yeah, and it opened our eyes. I cried and laughed at the video of everything we did. But from our two perspectives, we appreciate everything the British Army does for us, seen and unseen. There's a hell of a lot of unseen. Without you guys and girls, we'd be in a bit of trouble. So we appreciate everything that you do for the country. And hopefully we'll get back down to the Army at some point and have another go.
Yeah, attaboy. Army.
Be the best.
Yeah, that's my jumper I've got there. I've got it on the wall. Lads, class.
Thanks for having us.
There we go.
Thank you, boys.
Cheers.
Awesome.
Right, Andrew, should we get to it? The good, the bad and the ugly. Brought to you by...
Maul & Brawl.
Yeah, I'm not going to say sponsored. Maul & Brawl for men that maul and women that...
Brawl.
You haven't picked up your bag?
Have we got it?
It's in the green room.
We're finally going to get stash.
Well, I told you, you can pick it up.
When did this
actually
start?
Actually, stash. You talk about stash. Stash is coming. That is like the evolution of the brand.
Okay.
Maulandbrawl.com.
Are you going to have some pictures of women that brawl on there?
Potentially. I've asked Beck to do it. So we'll
Who's
see.
She brawling with? She'd knock you out, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she probably would.
Yeah. She's hard. Would. Let's do it then, James.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll start off with the good. And we're going to go to the Rugby Europe Championship, James, with Georgia getting a mention of the good this week. They hammered Spain 38-3. In a top-of-the-table clash in Group A. And continuing in the Rugby Europe Championship, James, Portugal, they spanked Romania 49-24 away.
Looking good, eh?
In Group B. Mm. And if you get a chance, get on their Twitter page, Rugby Europe Championship. Unbelievable try from Portugal. Length of field effort, offloads, out the back, great runs, great breaks, finishes with a crossfield kick, class bit of play, so... Try for all tries from the Portuguese lads. Let's go to France then. Bit of top 14 action over the weekend. Paul Grau, not Growler, Grau. Do you know who he is, Jim?
No, talk to me.
He is Anton Dupont's stand-in scrum half at Toulouse. Dupont, we've seen, has been selected for the next few rounds of the World 7 Series. Is that what it's called? Yeah. World 7 Series?
Well, Sevens.
Sevens, there we go, for France. Anyway, Paul Grau, he only scored four tries.
What, from nine?
From nine. Four to lose. In
the old growler.
The old growler.
Is he French?
He is French. 61 points
Imagine
34
that,
victory.
Called Paul Growl and you're Paul, French.
Yeah, growler. anyway, one of the finishes, he puts a little grubber kick through for himself, was class. I mean, they're some big shoes to fill, aren't they?
Well, the DuPont's impossible, been on fire, the impossible task.
He's done pretty well. Scored four tries in his first start since Dupont has been picked for the Sevens. Sticking in France in the top 14, Pau. They won 20-10 away at high-flying Bordeaux. So massive shout-out to Simmons, Robson.
Yes.
A couple of good English names in there.
Whitelock's there as well, isn't he? Sam Whitelock?
Yeah, he's not English though.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean. That's why they're not Poe.
True, actually. So big shout out to the Poe boys. Leinster's third team get a shout out in the good this week. 26 unanswered points in the second half to beat Benetton 47-18. Two other shout outs. We had him on the show. Big Zach Mercer.
Yes.
He's getting a shout out in the good this week. Ridiculously good for Gloucester. 21 carries, 129 metres made, 8 defenders beaten, 4 offloads, 2 try assists, 1 with the grubber. He was brilliant. But the good this week is going to go to a place that doesn't often go. Not the Scarlets, not the Drags. But we're going to Wales. We're going to Wales and Dan Edwards and his drop goal to win the game for the Ospreys against Ulster as the clock went red. He gets the good this week and Ospreys, they're up there in the table.
Yeah.
They are punching well above their weight. So Toby Booth, massive shout out to you and the Ospreys boys and Dan Edwards. He looks about 12. Mm. Hell of a drop goal to win it though against Ulster. And we'll come on to them in a minute in the bad.
Yeah, Dan McFarlane weren't happy.
No,
mate.
He wasn't. But anyway, the good this week goes to Dan Edwards, Toby Booth and the Ospreys. The bad, few bits of bad. Racing, they got hosed 44-20 at home to Montpellier, who were bottom of the top 14 before that game. That was pretty bad. The Sharks get a shout out in the
lost
bad
again
this week. They lost 25-21 at home to the Stormers. Mm. John Dobson's crew went in there, took away what they needed to, but they've made some signings.
They have.
They've gone into the checkbook.
Andre Esterhazy.
Andre Esterhazy.
And Trevor Nkanye.
Nyakani.
I call him Nkanye. You call him Nyakani?
It's not Kanye West, mate.
Yeah, in my mind, he is. He dances like he's Kanye
does, actually,
West.
Yeah.
I'm calling him Trevor Nkanye.
The longest tongue in world rugby. He stuck it out with the
my goodness,
purple
mate.
From some drink that he had pre-match. It was the longest tongue I've ever seen. So
you say something you can't probably say.
Yeah, you can't.
We'll leave it.
You can't. But anyway, the Sharks get a mention of the bad. The Ulster boys get a mention of the big problems at Ulster, I hear.
Why? Don't go based on Stevie Ferris's tweet.
Money.
Money?
Yeah, they've lost the Kingspan sponsorship.
Go to Saudi.
Go to Saudi.
Like the Newcastle Drags have. Hey.
Some issues there. I don't think the players are happy with Dan McFarland. Why? He tried to blame the ref.
Well, I ain't got an issue with that, and I haven't seen it. I was going to go back and watch it.
I've watched it.
Of course you have.
The ref, and let's be honest, the ref wasn't the best for both teams.
All right.
But the point he's trying to make is Stewart's at the back of them all. The ref's told him about 3 times, use it. And then he hasn't. He hasn't listened.
Mm.
So technically it's Stewart's fault. But also, oh, I don't want to say it. Stockhorse. Nah, not great. Dropped it over the line.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm hearing there's changes are coming.
Oh, I like Dan McFarlane. Yeah. I'll be honest. Like him as a coach. Like what he does in the back end. But there's big pressure when you're Ulster coach.
Yeah, they got the drags this week. So they'll
be fine.
The
they'll be all right then.
They'll be all right then. But yeah, I heard one person.
Go on. Say
I won't
it.
Name it. Say Ulster. They've lost loads of big players. A load of kids playing for him at the minute. They look like a Welsh region. I feel harsh saying that. I didn't say that. Someone from Ireland has said that to me.
But you just said it.
Never.
Have you been chatting to Stevie Ferris?
No, I haven't. I'm repeating what someone else has said. Ulster need to pull their socks up. They'll probably put 50 on the dregs this week and it'll be all rosy again. But there we go.
Well, I hope they come
good. The bad this week, talking of Wales, it's got to go to the Scats, the Scarlets.
Mm.
Got absolutely hosed. 42 points to 7 to Munster at home.
But RG Snyman's back.
Yeah,
did you see? There's a it didn't go to hand.
No.
That offload out the back door. RG really Snyman.
Yeah.
Fuck, again, it's easy to go.
You see him running as well.
Big
he
on
made
people.
The break.
Animal.
Yeah. You wouldn't fancy chasing that and tackling it, would you? But they did. But anyway,
anyways,
not about RG, because he is a great player and a great bloke, and he's going to rip the shirt off you in a minute. But the Scarlets, you're going to get the bad this week for taking a 42 points to 7 hosing by Munster at home. And then the ugly, only one bit of ugly really, Ray Lilo. Far too upright in his tackle on Shane Bolton. 14th minute for Cardiff against Connacht. Straight red card. Nah, you don't do that, Ray Lilo. And that's why you win the ugly.
Yep, he's going to lay low for a few weeks, get it?
Yeah.
Ray Lilo, lay low.
Lilo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, James.
And thank you to producer Rob. And thank you to everyone for listening, as always. Don't forget to check us out on YouTube as well. And make sure...
you've subscribed on Spotify.
That a boy. Make sure you subscribe on Spotify. That's the one. Rugby Spot.
Spotipod, pod, 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 pod.